Ephesians is not just about our personal identity. It also tells us who we are as a community, as a church. It spells out our relationship to God individually and together. In Ephesians, we are described as the family of the Father, the body of the Son, the temple of the Holy Spirit. The outline of our passage today is shaped by this understanding of God, the plan of God the Father, carried out by God the Son, and guaranteed by God the Holy Spirit. But the one thing I really want you to grasp, it's a great plan. And yet, to many people, life has turned out differently. What do people say about us? Sometimes people say we don't count. Apparently, I'm male, pale, and stale. All of us, we're told, too fat, too thin to fit in. Too old or too young to be listened to. Most people want to belong, but feel excluded. That's the anxiety of our time, isn't it? This morning, we're going to find out what God thinks about us. Why listen? Because to him, we're not to anything to be a part of his plan. To him, there's no too black or too white. He loves a garden full of different flowers. Let's read about the plan of God the Father in verses 3 to 6. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. This is great, but it's so rich, it's easy to lose our way in it. As I said, the one thing I want you to grasp is it's a great plan. It's not like my secret Santa present, a pair of thin trousers, four sizes too small. God's plan is big time. It's special. And how long has God been planning this for us? Look up there at verse 4. He chose us before the creation of the world. Not just a long time ago, but before the creation of the world. Now, some of us believe in scientists, some of us don't. But scientists think that was 4,500 million years ago. God has been thinking about us for a very long time. And what has he got planned for you, for me, for us? Verse 5. He predestined us to be adopted as sons. Not just a distant relative, but as an adopted son. He's saying, come into my family as my child. When this was written 2,000 years ago, adoption was an irreversible act. It was a legal act defined in law. It was an act by which a person takes a stranger into his family, acknowledges him as his child, and appoints him heir of his estate. And that's what he wants for us. And lastly, in this great plan, look at verse 6. He didn't just give us it, he gave us it freely. What do we do? What do we have to do to get this amazing gift? Answer, absolutely nothing. It's totally free. You may think all this heavenly realms business is a bit otherworldly, a bit theological and churchy. You might be thinking, that's not the real world that I live in. Let me tell you what happened to me just before Christmas. I had flights booked to visit my daughter and grandchildren in Sweden at Christmas. I was really desperate to go, especially as it got cancelled last year. A couple of days before the flight, I realised I'd lost my passport. Big problem. I changed my flights, put them back a couple of days, and I went to Peterborough to get a new passport the day before the new flight. It was the first day I could get in. I got there 3 hours early, but they wouldn't let me in. So I went to the Peterborough Public Library and started to prepare this message. When I got to verse 3, the first verse in it, this is what I read. He has blessed us in Sweden, for he chose us before I lost my passport to go to Sweden. He predestined us to go to Sweden in accordance with the good pleasure of his will. Oh, no. I'm not pretending this was some great act of faith on my part. It wasn't. It was me panicking. I've spoiled everybody's Christmas in the family. What are they going to say? What are they going to do? I needed one of those blessings in the heavenly places. One of them is God's answering our prayer. God answering our prayer. That's his promise. Oh, I needed it. When the interview for the new passport came, the guy said, I could have one 6th of January at the earliest. I thought I was going to cry. I think he thought I was going to cry as well, because he was so embarrassed, he jumped up and he went and got his boss. Despite it breaking all the rules, his boss and his boss said, okay, we'll print it overnight, come along the next morning, and you can pick it up and still get on the plane. They were still printing it when I got there an hour early the next day. Half an hour later, we got it literally hot off the press. I had to be careful not to smudge it. His blessings in the heavenly places. You know where his blessings were for me this Christmas? Not on another planet, not up in the ether somewhere. This is where I was blessed.
Great stuff.
So I saw all my three grandchildren and I got to Sweden. And it's good to think when God says he blesses us in the heavenly realms, it's not always somewhere else, for someone else. It's for every one of us who wants to know him. Let's move on to the next section. God's plan is carried out by his son. I'm going to read out verses 7 to 12. And you may have noticed some bits are in red. When I get to the bits in red, if you can see them, it's come out a little bit small. I'd like you to shout those bits out as well. You'll see why later. There's one right at the beginning, so get ready. 1, 2, 3, go. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished
with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfilment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory.
I focus on the in him because that's where it happens. In Christ isn't like in his club. We're not tools in his toolbox. It's much more organic than that. He is the vine, we are the branches. In Christ is in his family, in his bloodline, in his body. We're a part of him and he's a real part of us. It's a lot to take in, isn't it? Do you know what I think of when I hear that phrase in verse 8? That he lavishes his grace on us. When I think of his grace lavished on us, that's what I think of. Three types of ice cream, sprinkles on top, an enormous flake stuck in the top, a biscuit, lots of lovely tropical fruit round the outside. That's God's grace. That's how it's lavished on us. It's not a paltry effort from God. Even an umbrella on top. Grace is a mnemonic. God's riches at Christ's expense. What does that mean? It means you don't have to carry around all the guilt you feel when you see the misery and the mistakes that you've inflicted on people, like I inflicted on people I love. I don't have to carry that round with me. He took that on himself and cancelled our debt. In Christ, we're washed white as snow. Maybe you're in one of those times where life is tough. Perhaps you're feeling you've had a raw deal. Maybe life seems easier for those around you. If you're in Christ, the riches of his grace have been, past tense, lavished on you. His plan is not mean or paltry. It's wow, it's knickerbocker glory. And as Jesus said at the cross, it's finished, it's done. Why don't we feel that all the time? Two reasons. One is in this section and one in the next. We miss all this blessing because we're not focused on the right thing. Staring at your own navel all the time will never bring the happiness you want. Paul tells us here where this blessing is. You shouted it out. It's in him. One thing I did this week, to check it out, I looked at the screen time I spend on average on my phone each day. Have a look. Have you spent that much time looking at Jesus each day? If you want to know that blessing, that grace that he wants you to have, stop looking at yourself and look more at him. If you're still thinking, I'm on the outside looking in, consider the final section of this passage. If you want to be included in every spiritual blessing, know this. It's guaranteed by God, the Holy Spirit. Let's read the last two verses. Verse 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Who is it who says you are chosen, predestined, rescued, and lavished with God's grace. Not me. That wouldn't count for anything. But it's written in this word. God says it. Verses 13 and 14 give us a simple step-by-step description of the whole process. How do we know we have every spiritual blessing? This is what I call the gospel for dummies. One, you heard the good news. Two, you believed. Three, you were given a guarantee, the Holy Spirit. Four, you'll be able to enjoy the inheritance of an adopted child. If you're not, as we were shouting, in Christ, here's a starting point. Hearing the message of truth, the good news, the gospel. If you don't know what it is, find out what it's got to say to you. See if it's better than what the world has to offer. Step two, believe it. Now, you may be thinking, I don't have enough faith. But look, my brother, he's an atheist. Let me tell you, I don't have the faith to believe, like a Rolex watch building itself, the universe has just happened on its own. It's like believing the Mona Lisa just appeared when you spilt the paint on the floor. It's like when the bin men dropped the bottles in the truck and suddenly you heard Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. It's not going to happen. We've got too much common sense for that. The title today is We Are Blessed. But it doesn't mean we're stupid or deluded. By nature, I am a scientist. Lots of Christians are scientists. Galileo, 500 years ago, he gets a bad press in the church, but he believed in God. He just didn't believe in the church. Isaac Newton, 400 years ago, he wrote more books about Christianity than about science. And I've spent the last 25 years teaching his laws of motion. The head of the World Genome Project, he's a Christian and a scientist. Don't let atheists convince you that you have to be stupid to be a Christian. You don't. We believe in Jesus, and we also believe in logic, historical facts, reality, and truth. If you're not ready to trust in Christ, ask yourself, what are you trusting in, and is it working for you? Step three in the gospel. It is faith, but it's not wishful thinking. You're included with Christ when you heard the message of truth, when you heard God speaking to you in your heart, and when you responded by putting your trust in him. But that's not the end of it. There's something he does inside you when you become a Christian. His Holy Spirit comes and guarantees your inheritance as a child of God. He changes your heart. You actually enjoy singing the worship songs, which is easy to believe. You actually start smiling back at people. Why? Because you love them more and more. God has done something in your heart. We should pray that this seal, this deposit guaranteeing our inheritance, will be something we experience in a meaningful way. There are many Christians who are just doing a duty, and they've lost the joy and the life that the Holy Spirit brings. We should hear his gentle and persuasive voice. It should be real to us. I think some Christians are afraid to entrust themselves to the Holy Spirit. Don't be. Like God the Father, like God the Son, he's a person who loves you. Treasure his gentle presence and persuasion. Have you seen in this passage how the loving motivation of God is woven into every thread? It tells us over and over again why he's done so much for us. It's according to the kind intention of his will. It's according to the riches of his grace. It's according to his kind intentions. And it's according to his purpose. God is love, but that's not just a gooey statement. It impels him to a determined purpose. A purpose we found out about this morning, I hope. This passage delivers great news for the church. It also directs us to a God who has planned, paid for, and presented it to us. It gives us our value and our identity, personally and as a church. Don't miss out on what he has for you. Let's pray.